in a couple of weeks, won't it? But I'm glad it's not down to the Mayans or any man. No man knows the day or the hour. But the one thing is certain, just as he came 2,000 years ago, he's going to come again. And Jesus is coming again. And boy, does the world need him. It is good to be here today. It's good to be part of the dedication. And I do remember those early days. I remember you saying, John, one evening when James had become a believer and the change that had happened in his life. And then speaking one night, and the room was around the other way. And Mel came out, and very nervously, this bonny young lady come out and said, "I want to give my life to Jesus." And that was it. So it's great. And then and she was only young then. Not that she's old now, but she was only young then. The thing with Jesus, he doesn't put an age limit on it, does he? In fact, on Wednesday afternoon, I was speaking at an older folks group. I was actually speaking on the second coming of Jesus. And a lady at the end of it, 82 years old, she said, "I want to give my life to Jesus." And I'm thinking, wow, it's better late than never. Anyway, this morning, I want to read to you from John's Gospel. And it's in John chapter 10. And it's a well-known story. And Jesus says, from verse 7, he says, "Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." And God, oh, bless his word to us. I want to speak to you this morning about the Good Shepherd, because throughout the Bible, there are many times where references are made to people being just like sheep. Now, you can barely believe that, I know. And I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes. I got you smiling there, John. But people are referred to constantly as sheep. And in the Psalms, it says, the psalmist writes in Psalm 100, it says, "We are the sheep of his pasture." In Isaiah chapter 53, there's that famous passage where it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray, everyone to his doing his own thing." And in Jeremiah chapter 50, it says, "My people have been lost sheep, left to roam, and praise of the wolves." And, you know, that's the picture. When God looks down at you this morning, he sees you as a sheep. And then in another prophecy in the book of Ezekiel, God speaks and he says, due to the lack of good shepherds for the people, God himself promises to be the shepherd, because he sees that people have been left to their own devices, left alone to wander, to become victims of circumstances and of situations, to be preyed upon by all sorts of things. And God says, enough is enough. So I'm coming to be the shepherd, the good shepherd, to look after people, because people need looking after. And I don't know whether you've realised this, but every one of us needs a shepherd for our lives. That's why the Bible speaks not only of sheep, but also of the shepherd. Throughout the Bible, kings and rulers were often referred to as shepherds of the people, because they were to deal with people fairly, kindly, look after them, defend them, to be protectors of them. And at the same time, shepherds were also considered a lowly state or position, and were often seen as unclean and outside of religious or spiritual rituals that were seen as the low caste. That's why in the Christmas story we've got the shepherds on the hillside. They were seen as the outcasts, but it was to them that the angels appeared and said, "We bring you good news of great joy." So you see, when God actually speaks and says, I'm going to be your shepherd. And when Jesus comes in and says on two occasions, "I am the good shepherd," he's actually saying, "I'm taking on a lowly position that you might be looked after, that you might be dealt with correctly." And I believe that's one of the reasons why Jesus actually says that he's humbled himself and taken the form of a servant. He's become like the shepherd, the lowly position, because he cares for sheep. He cares for people. He cares for you. And you might be here this morning, you might be thinking, "God, where are you?" And God says, "I'm here." You might be saying, "Nobody cares for me," but God looks at you and he says, "I care for you. I want to be your shepherd. I want to be the one who looks after you, the one who directs you correctly." See, the Bible speaks of the good shepherd in three ways. It speaks, as I've read to you this morning, in John chapter 10, where it says, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." And then in the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the great shepherd. And then the Apostle Peter writes that Jesus is the chief shepherd. So all the time he's being referred to as the one who will shepherd his people. Now why does he speak like that? The reason is that sheep have problems. People have problems. And you know, sheep have a number of problems. I've got a friend who's a sheep farmer. And some years ago I was working with him on his farm and with his sheep at a particular time of year. And in talking with him, observed a number of things, that sheep are timid and fearful and are easily panicked. And you get that amongst people. You can see the same reactions in people's lives. But the second thing about sheep is that they're dumb, they're stupid, and they're gullible. Now, I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but they're just like people. They're dumb, they're stupid, and they're gullible. You know what I mean? How many times have you been taken in by the con man who's promised you the world and you've got nothing? We're gullible. I was with my friend on his farm, and it's just like people. Because we're gullible, because we so easily follow the crowd. You know, when they were having those trials a couple of months ago about the riots last year, that the herd mentality of how people got led astray and just followed the crowd and did things that were out of personality. Why? Because they're gullible. They led astray. But my friend was saying, through his farm, there was not a river, but you know, quite a wide stream. And there'd been a period of particularly heavy rain. And he says, sheep, and he said this to me, he says, "Sheep are just like people, they're thick." And I says, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, well, "Watch them." So we stood there, and as the sheep were walking along through the field, one sheep just sort of went, "Bah!" and jumped up. And another sheep behind it went along and went, "Bah!" and jumped up. He says, "Look at them, they're thick, there's nothing in the way. But they're just imitating what's in front of them. They're just following the crowd." He says, "But they're even thicker than that." He says, "Because, you know, sheep can't swim." He says, "So they come to the edge of the running water. And in fact, sheep can't drink from fast running water. The nose is too close to the mouth." And that's why in Psalm 23, it says he leads them by still waters. Because then in still waters, they can drink. But if the water's fast and bubbly, it goes up the nose and they drown. He says, "So the rivers, the big streams running through, it's had heavy rain." He says, "And the sheep comes to the end of it. And it looks in the water and goes, 'Oh, fast running water. I think I'll go for a swim, even though I can't swim.'" And he says, "The sheep sort of jumps in, floats on its back and goes, and drowns. And another sheep comes along, looks in and goes, 'Oh, there's Billy. Let's go and join him.' And jumps in." He says, "I lost 7 thick sheep that day." He says, "It cost me a fortune." And you see, that's just like people. Led astray. We follow because we think we know best. And really, you know, the Bible says that we think we're wise, but it's actually foolishness. And just like sheep, we go to perish because we don't listen to a good shepherd. They're easily influenced, like those sheep falling into the water. They stampede easily. and be very vulnerable to the mob psychology. And we see that in people again. Sheep do that. Any observer of sheep will tell you that that's exactly what happens. And sheep are also jealous. I didn't realise that. He says, but they're very jealous and they strive for dominion. And they have little discernment in choosing good food and water. That's why they need a shepherd. That's why they need, in our farms, which are different, they need somebody to put the right food and the right water in. Otherwise, sheep go astray and they eat and drink the wrong stuff that can actually kill them. And that's why the good shepherd leads them to good pastures. And you see, it's exactly the same in our lives. That so often, outside of Jesus, we make the wrong choices. We eat and drink. I don't mean in food and drink itself, but we choose to devour the wrong things that will actually damage us. You know, I have kids when I go into school and they say, hey, sir, you don't believe in God, do you? I'll say, yep, I believe in him. I've known him for nearly 40 years now, 41 years, and he's real in my life. And they say, well, what do you think about palm reading or fortune telling? So it's a load of codswallop. And they say, oh, no, I really believe. And you see, because they're easily influenced. Because somebody comes along and says, believe this. And people, oh, go, yeah, I'll believe that. But when you come along and you say to them, look, you need a shepherd who will guide you and lead you through life. They say, oh, no, that's stupid. Don't need Jesus. I'm glad like that 82-year-old lady the other day that she made that choice to find the good shepherd. You see, sheep are also stubborn. They're very stubborn. They want to do their own thing. When they come into the shearing pen, they don't want to come in. So they kick and they move around. And you see, people are like that. They're stubborn. They say, I'll do it my way. You see, I think that's a song. If ever there's going to be music in hell, I think they'll have Frank Sinatra playing all the time. He'll be on a loop singing, for I did it my way. And God says, that's right. You see, because people are stubborn and they say, I'll do it my way. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. Nobody can come to the Father except by me. That's why we need a shepherd to lead us and to guide us. You see, sheep don't like being cleansed or sheared. And that was the job I had with my friend, putting them into the sheep dip to clean them. Boy, I was absolutely clapped out at the end of the day, grabbing hold of these sheep. My fingers hurt. I didn't know I got muscles in my fingers till the end of the day when you flick 200 sheep through the dip and pulled them out again. They didn't like it, but it was for their benefit. And so often people are exactly the same. They say, I'll do things my way. I'll stay just as I am. If God's that good, he'll forgive me at the end anyway. No, he won't. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we could get cleansed and sheared. Why is shearing important? Because if sheep don't get sheared, the wool becomes so heavy, and if they fall down under it, they can't right themselves. If they go onto the back, they can't get up. Sheep also easily get into ruts. They don't want to change. I've been like this for 40 years. I'm not going to change now. Just like sheep. But Jesus said, you can change. I hear people say, oh, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Here's some good news. You're not an old dog. Right? You can be taught new tricks because you can have a new life, a new lifestyle when you come to know the good shepherd. And sheep are vulnerable to pests. We get a lot of fleas, flies, ticks and things like that upon them. And it really affects them and they can't do anything of themselves to get rid of them. You've all got starting to scratch now, aren't you? See, it's that mob mentality. You see, somebody does it. See, we have it. You see, you get somebody who looks at the watch, and everybody looks at the watch. You notice that we do these things. And we can see those characteristics in people. The same characteristics in sheep are actually in people. And then Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. It says that he had compassion on them because they didn't know what to do. They'd got no direction. And that's the same in the world that we live in. There's a lack of direction. Maybe in your life this morning, there's a lack of direction and purpose. And you know what? There always will be, unless you come under the good shepherd who wants to lead you and direct you and show you the way, to cleanse you, to shear you, to remove that which is no good. The Daily Mail, some months ago, it was highlighting a particular problem. And it had a headline, when will the church speak up on these issues? And it was looking for direction, because it was saying in the article, it was saying there's no direction from government or opposition. When will the church speak up and give some direction to the people that need it? And then just a few weeks ago, when they announced the new archbishop, the Daily Mail had an inside page headline. It made me chuckle when I saw it. It said, "At last, a bishop that believes in God and is evangelical." Right? I mean, it's good to have a bishop that believes in God. It sort of goes without saying, really, doesn't it? But the last one, we're not too sure about. And that's why Jesus looks and uses that term, the Good Shepherd, calling himself the Good Shepherd, the God Shepherd. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." A lot of people get that read out at the funeral. But sadly, a lot of those who were being buried never knew the Good Shepherd. And that's why it's important to know him. He is the Good Shepherd. And you see, he's the Good Shepherd because people like sheep, out of all livestock, need a shepherd that cares for them. That's the thing. No other animal on the earth is like a sheep. Other animals can be left on their own. But sheep need care. Because sheep have no homing instincts. They need to be found. Other animals will find their own way back. But not so with sheep. That's why Jesus, again, in using the picture of the sheep, says he leaves the 99 and go and finds the one that's gone astray. Because he knows how important it is for people to have a shepherd in their lives. Because sheep are dependent upon the shepherd. And the most calming influence in a flock of sheep is the shepherd. When the eastern shepherds are with the sheep are calm because they know the protection of the shepherd around them. He watches over them. I've seen it in Middle Eastern countries. I've seen it in India and Africa, where the shepherd with his big stick will have his sheep and his goats at time out, and he'll just be stood there and he'll be looking, watching for the right terrain to take them on, where the grass is, where there's food, where there's water, but also keeping alert for dangers that might come in, that might harm and injure the flock. And the sheep also recognise the shepherd. They recognise his voice. I remember a friend of mine telling me a story some years ago that he was actually in the Middle East. And he said all the shepherds had been out and had got their sheep. And they all came to one big watering hole, and all the sheep sort of got mixed up. He said there were many flocks of sheep there. He says, and all the shepherds sat down and had their coffee or whatever and chatted. And after about an hour, it was time to move on to the various pastures. And he says he was amazed as the shepherd stood up and moved out and called his sheep. And he said, and suddenly out of all these hundreds of sheep, this flock would suddenly move and go with him. And another shepherd would go another way, and his sheep went with him. Because the sheep recognized the voice of the shepherd. And that's exactly what Jesus says. My sheep know my voice. You see, there's the beauty of it in becoming a believer, in knowing the voice of the Good Shepherd. He speaks. I remember a kid in school saying to me, "Sir, has God ever spoke to you?" And I said, "Yeah." And they all burst out laughing, you know, as if you were one who heard voices in the back of your head. You know, because usually if somebody says they've heard God speak, it's because they've gone and murdered somebody or chased after somebody with an axe. But God speaking, how does God speak? Well, what's the point of having a relationship with somebody who never speaks? You know, what's the point of marrying my wife if she never spoke to me? No comments there, John. Right. In relationship, you talk. And it's exactly the same with God the Father. The Good Shepherd wants to talk. Why? Because I need guidance. I need direction. I need to know which way to go. What to do. He speaks. He cares. He guides. And there's many instances in my life where I've heard the voice of God directing me. I remember many years ago now, coming up the motorway, we were coming back from my friend's farm, actually, where we'd been staying. And as normal on the journey, I'd got near Bristol, my exhaust had fallen off. Great. So we got the exhaust fixed. So three kids in the back of the car and the wife asleep in the front seat. And we set off again. Got onto the M6 and I'm in the outside lane doing 69 and 3/4 miles an hour. I'm overtaking a line of trucks, and I'm playing Bob Dylan, He's blaring away, I'm singing, the times they are a-changing. And as clear as anything, I've got one hand on the steering wheel, and as clear as anything, I heard a voice say to me, get ready, you're going to have a blowout in your wheel. I switched off the radio, I sat up straight, put both hands on the steering wheel, and within 30 seconds there was a bang, and my front tyre blew out. But I was gripping it tight, so the car just wobbled. My wife woke up and said, what's happened? I said, my tyre's just blown out. I got past the first vehicle, indicated in, straight onto the hard shoulder. And the amazing thing was, I'd seen other cars that had blown out and gone out of control and had families wiped out. But I'd heard the voice of God. And some people say, well, was it just luck? Well, you know, I'm glad I heard the voice of God on that occasion. Another time I was due to go to India and made plans to go. And then at the last minute, I just felt, don't go, cancel it. Again, this was a number of years ago. And I cancelled the trip. And then a few weeks later, the guy sent me a letter and said, we praise God that you didn't come. I don't often get that. And he said, the reason is the hall where we would have been having some evening meetings was torched by Hindu militants. And it would have been at the time we were having meetings. God told us not to go. Many times where the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, has spoken and led and directed. Why? Because we all need direction. I don't want to trust my future to the movement of stars or some crazy calendar or some tea leaves in a cup. I want to hear the voice of God. And that's the promise of God, that you shall hear my voice. My sheep shall know my voice. Why? Because he's the God who guides and he leads and he directs. Why? Because he knows that if we don't, we'll go astray. That's why the Bible says we all go astray, because we do our thing that we think is okay and it gets us nowhere. And we miss out on the free gift of eternal life. You see, sheep have no natural defense either. That's why they run. I need somebody to defend me. That's why in Psalm 23 it says, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. They pull me back from danger. They fight off the predators that come in. Why? Because sheep can't defend themselves naturally. We need help. We need strength. And that's what Jesus wants to be in your life. And even as a believer this morning. You see, so often we can run off and do our own thing without checking out. What does the Good Shepherd say? You see, life's too fragile to make decisions based upon my impulses rather than checking out what he says. And I tell you, over the years, I've learned many lessons in the school of hard knocks, because I've gone off my impulse, what I thought, and then afterwards thought, drat. Last week I was doing a number of school assemblies, and I'd actually forgot that I was in a particular school on the Tuesday morning, and on Monday afternoon I got an email from the school. And they just said, oh, thanks for your dates, Paul, for next term. And we look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord Jesus, tomorrow? Well, check me diary. And sure enough, it was in. And the assembly they'd given me was on Christian symbols. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? And so I started to wrap my brain. I'm thinking, okay, I'll do the sign of the fish, the cross, the Alpha and Omega, the candle. And I started to try to download things off the computer so that I could show like flashcards in the assembly. And so I got my wife on the job to do it, and the printer wouldn't work, so I couldn't print it. So I emailed them to a friend and for her to print them off. She couldn't download them. So I said, right, I'll go in the church office first thing in the morning and I'll print them off there. So I went into the church office. Could I print them off? No, it wouldn't work. And I'm thinking, 45 minutes and I'm in front of a stack of kids and I've got to do... And I sat down and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And as clear as anything, he said, use your sketchboard and paint it up. And I thought, why didn't I think of that before? As clear as anything, he said, you never asked me. You see, so often we just don't ask. Now, that might be so simple. And in the end, I went into this school assembly and it all came together. I just painted it with my paints and on my paper and board. And all the kids loved it. And I thought, even after all these years, Paul, you still don't stop and check out what the shepherd says. And, you know, there's many times when I can tell you the mistakes I've made because I've run ahead and not stopped to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How many times have you made a mistake where you've stopped and thought, I should have asked the Lord first? Maybe you don't know him this morning. Maybe you just come in, I don't know, for the dedication. And you're thinking, yeah, my life's been like that. Catalogue of mistakes. Wrong directions, wrong choices. But you know, the great thing is with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he says, I make all things new. He gives us a brand new start, a brand new beginning. He brings us into good pastures, because it's never based upon what the sheep does or what the sheep's been. It depends upon his nature. And he's good all the time. In fact, the Bible says this. It says he does not treat us as our sins deserve. What a God. He does that. That's why we sang some of those songs this morning. You know, who could save himself? Who could heal his own life? Nobody. Why? It's dependent upon him. He's the one. I love that picture that you sometimes see in Sunday school books with the shepherd carrying the sheep over his shoulders and looking after them. Remember in India once, seeing this whole train of camels and sheep. And the injured and the weak sheep were placed on top of the camels so that they could get to where they were going. And they had special care. What a God that gives us special care. See, that's the sheep. But look at the character of the shepherd, what the good shepherd is. He says, I'm not a hireling. I'm not a hireling. I actually care. I'm not doing this as a job that I've got to do. I'm doing this because I love my sheep. And I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep. In fact, in the shepherd psalm, David, who wrote it himself, was a shepherd, and he learnt many things about God and his relationship with God while he was out on those fields. And he learnt knowledge because he said, "I've rescued sheep from the paw of the bear and the jaw of the lion." He's gone after them and he's attacked lions and bears. I mean, I think that's what a character of a guy when he sees, rather than sort of saying, "Oh well, never mind." You know, it's lion meat that he's gone. But he's gone after it and thought, you ain't having my sheep, mate, and goes and batters a lion. What a care. He doesn't think, oh, I'm going to get scratched. But it's the same characteristic in Jesus where he says, I'm not letting you go. I'm not going to let you go to hell. I'm not going to let you be under the control of an evil one. I'm not going to let you have a ruined life. The thief comes to steal, kill and destroy. But I've come, the good shepherd, that you might have life. And life in all its fullness that only the shepherd can bring. He says, that's why I fight for you. That's why we celebrated communion this morning. To remember the death and the resurrection. The fight that Jesus had. The sacrifice he paid. So that we could be brought into a good pasture. The shepherd also has knowledge. He leads and feeds. Because he's got wisdom and knowledge. And you see, in the Bible, it talks about knowing visions and dreams, wisdom and understanding. And I believe as a church, we need to understand and know what's happening in the world, what's happening all around us. And also realise that people are living in fear. They don't know what to do. That's why they need a shepherd. And I want to encourage you as a Christian this morning to be a shepherd in your place of work, in your college, in your school, in your office. Why? Because people don't know what to do. But in that situation, you can be the shepherd there to direct them aright. You know, not too long ago, I was doing some work in Turkey and meeting with a number of Iranians who had come to know Jesus. And they had come to know Jesus because Jesus has appeared to them in the mosque and had spoken to the imam. And said to him, you are leading people from death into deeper death, from darkness into total darkness. Therefore, turn and find the light. And then he did. And all the people saw the vision of Jesus. And then in the night, he got a dream. And in the dream was a telephone number. He didn't know what the number was. And he felt the Lord say, ring this number and you'll get instructions in following me. So he rang up this number and he told them, I'm an imam from this mosque. And he says, I don't know who you are, but I've been given your phone number by Jesus in a dream. And it turned out that the guy was the head of the underground church, who then came and instructed the people in the way of Jesus. I have other sheep also that don't belong to this place. Other people also who are outside to be brought in. And that's why we need to develop skills. That's the third thing that the shepherd had. He developed skills. We need to develop skills. And the great thing is in the Christian life that God gives us skills and abilities through the work of His Holy Spirit. I will not leave you as an orphan, Jesus said, but I will come and will make a home in you. And He gives us gifts of the Holy Spirit. Skills. But there's other things that we can learn along the way. David developed skills before he fought Goliath. He fought the bear and the lion. He had lots of target practice. Jesus developed skills. He was a carpenter and a stonemason. The Apostle Paul developed skills. He was a tent maker. He knew how to sew. And it's a lifelong, somebody said this, a lifelong learning is the secret of happiness in old age. To keep developing skills. How sad it is when a lot of people retire and they don't do anything. You think they put the feet up and with a short period they die. And then you read about other people who keep on developing skills. You know, my father-in-law developed computer skills before he died. He learnt them. He learnt how to make cards. He decided he was going to save money and make his own greeting cards. So he downloaded programs and he used to make them. He learnt skills that were never his when he was a lot younger. Don't stop learning. Keep developing skills. And then lastly, you see, sheep can't right themselves. When they fall down and they roll over, if they've got too much wool, they can't get back up again. They need a shepherd to lift them. Maybe you're down this morning. Maybe you've been under that cloud of depression. Maybe you've been wondering what it's all about. And you can't seem to get yourself right. You seem to be in that place, oh, I need to get myself sorted. Let me save you a lot of time and stress. You won't get yourself sorted. You need the good shepherd to right you. That's why we all need a good shepherd. We never outgrow the need of a shepherd. And then one day, that shepherd, when our life comes to an end, as it surely will, because one day, you know, I've discovered this, that 10 out of 10 people that are born die. Right? It's a fact of life. That when we pop our clogs and the day will come, we never know. We know when our birthday is, but we don't know when our death day is. When I spoke at my dad's funeral, I said this. I said, people says, oh, we didn't expect this of Joe. And I says, no. And people will say that about me and they'll say that about you. We never know when that day will be. That's why it's important to know the Good Shepherd. Because on that day, it says this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me. And you see, sheep will only lie down. This is the last thing to learn. Sheep will only lie down when they are feeling safe and secure, free from pests, free from pestilence, and when they're in the place of serenity with their shepherd. And you know what, folks, this morning, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, that's the invitation that Jesus makes to us all. Know the reality of the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the good shepherd who lays down his life. That you care for each and every one of us. That even when we fall, you don't leave us or condemn us, but you're there to lift us up again. Because you are the good shepherd, the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. I'm going to pray a prayer now. And if you've never asked Jesus to be the shepherd of your life, then I'm going to pray this prayer slowly, and you can say it quietly to yourself after me, and the good shepherd will hear you, and it will make you right with God. It's not that the prayer is anything special, but it's that the good shepherd chooses right now to forgive you and to watch over you, and all you've got to do is accept it. And this is the prayer you can pray. Father God, I come to you and I ask you to forgive me for going my own way for so long. And I choose now to invite you by your Holy Spirit into my life. To cleanse me, to forgive me, to renew me, and to shepherd me all the days of my life. And fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I would learn new skills in God. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And if you prayed that prayer, then